The Angry Chicken is a production of Amove TV. Bookmark amove.tv for more gaming and esports shows. The Angry Chicken is directly supported by listeners like you via patreon.com/TAC.
Everyone, get in here!
A podcast about Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft. This is the Angry Chicken.
Welcome back, everybody. This is TAC. I'm Garrett Weinzerl. No, I am not dead. I'm sure some of you are disappointed about that. And joining me, as always, is Willie Dills Gregory and Jocelyn Moffitt. Welcome back, guys. How are you doing? Joss, I'll start with you.
I think I accidentally just thumbs up the disappointment that you're not dead. So I apologize. I'm happy you're not dead. It was such a stressful weekend for me, Garrett. Oh my God.
Oh, I bet it was. I'm not going to come down on you too hard for that, because you were stressed out because you were worried about me, our buddy Jim, and all the other Floridians that you know and love. So thank you, Jocelyn. Thank you for being probably at times more stressed out than I was.
Probably.
Is Disney World okay?
That's the other big question, right?
Disney World should be fine for the most part. I'm sure they sustained some minor damages around the park.
What about Harry Potter World?
Yeah, what about come on now. The big dragon.
Is Hogwarts still there, right?
All right. Here, I don't know for a fact. I haven't looked up the state of the parks, but I would hazard a guess that Harry Potter parks, being the most recent addition to Orlando, probably held up pretty well in the hurricane.
Probably ready for hurricane.
I'm sure
I wasn't that worried about you, Garrett, because you were so prepared. Like I was following very closely. You were boarded up. Seemed like you had a plan. You had the sandbags. You had the whole thing going. I was like, all right, Garrett's got it. He's on it. in Texas, I think a lot of my friends weren't ready for this type of thing, because it doesn't really come to Central Texas all that often.
No.
So, yeah. But Florida, you guys are veterans at this point in the hurricane game. So
I 100% blame the news, because I swear to God, the news / Twitter, I saw the graphic of what a category like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hurricane does to a house probably 8,000 times.
It is scary, and we were scared. I mean, when they say, oh, hey, category 5, by the way, twice the size of Hurricane Andrew. Yeah, you know that last one that killed a ton of people? Yeah, it's twice as big. Twice as big.
Yeah.
That scares the crap out of you. And then every time I looked at the news, it was a more and more direct path to exactly where we live. So it was scary, but we really lucked out. It went down in power, like it went down to a category 2 by the time it made it to us. And even though we were hit pretty dead on, fine, totally fine. I have videos up on YouTube. You can find them on my Twitter if you really want to see. But we're absolutely fine. And we have power, which I think more than half of our city still does not.
Oh, wow.
So I'm super lucky. Absolutely super lucky. I'm really stoked that I'm actually here on Angry Chicken today, because I didn't think that was going to happen.
Neither did I. I was like, when you said you lost power and then everyone was saying, oh, it's going to take weeks to restore power to Florida, I was like, oh, guess we're just not doing Angry Chicken this month.
Yeah, no, it all worked out. I'm very fortunate. Not everyone is. So if you're out there and you're wanting to help the victims of not only Hurricane Irma, but Hurricane Harvey, which also decimated Texas, I highly recommend going and donating to Red Cross. So go do that.
I did.
Ah, good. And if you want to help those affected by Irma outside of the U.S., try UNICEF. They're also taking donations, and they're helping out the Caribbean, where over 10 million folks were affected by this. They actually had extremely low deaths because they evacuated to shelters, but the amount of homes that were destroyed in the Caribbean is really sad, so they need help as well. But anyway, Red Cross and UNICEF, go to their websites. It's redcross.org.
Chat room is also reminding us that there's a new WoW pet, and they're doing it's a charity pet. So
yes, it is
going to, I think it's going to Red Cross.
They have released it early, as a matter of fact, and they're running the promotion, for twice the length that they usually do for those, those charity pets. So that's awesome at Blizzard. So, go donate and also get yourself a sweet, World of Warcraft pet in the process. And if you don't play WoW, you can gift it to somebody. So
everyone wants this pet. It's adorable. So you can definitely find someone who you could give a gift to for sure.
Yeah, it's adorable. It's adorable and it's for a good cause. But yeah, so we're back here for another episode. Again, thanks to both of you last week for kind of holding down the fort since we postponed from Tuesday because I thought I was getting plywood. And then Wednesday I woke up, realized it wasn't getting plywood and I had to go find it. And you guys did it without me. So thank you very much. Very much appreciated. Before we get into the meat of it today, we got a sponsor to thank for this episode. Harry's.com is coming back to sponsor this episode of The Angry Chicken. And we have said many, many words about Harry's, but I have to say I really enjoyed having their razors in my bathroom because the first thing I did when I forgot power was I lathered up my neck and got rid of the disgusting neck beard I had because I hadn't shaved for over a week because I had just been running around doing hurricane prep. So I was very happy to just shave with the light on. That was lovely.
So, the little things.
Yeah, exactly. So Harry's.com is sponsoring this episode. They make high quality, affordable blades. They're so confident in the quality that they're going to let you try their popular trial set for free. Comes with a razor handle, a 5-blade cartridge, shaving gel, and it is free when you sign up. All you have to do is pay shipping, and you can redeem that offer by going to Harry's.com/TAC. We highly recommend you try them out, and we thank them for supporting this episode. Now, there's some Hearthstone news to talk about, and it's not what we were thinking.
Good news, everyone!
First thing I did when I got up this morning was make my coffee, open the notes, and type, "We're assuming patch day." And now underneath that, I have written, "Nope, never mind, moving on. No patch today." But we did have maintenance. The game was actually down for a while for reasons I don't know.
Yeah, nothing happened. They're still the same. I kind of was expecting it today, too, but a lot of people are saying that maybe we'll wait until the playoffs are done, which I believe is happening this weekend. So probably next week would make sense then, right?
Yep. Yeah. Which I think is something that they said. I feel like Brode said after all the HCT stuff is done, they don't want to make any big changes right before, which makes sense, I think. So
I'm curious.
Probably next week.
For me, that kind of, I don't know, takes the wind out of the sails for watching the tournament, because I'm just assuming we're going to see more of the same. Is that a sentiment shared with you all, or are you in the camp?
Oh, yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah. To be honest.
But I mean, I do understand, like, not doing it the Tuesday before, like, Saturday playoffs, because, you know, the players have worked really hard and spent a lot of time preparing, and then to kind of change so many things that they're going to use in the tournament. I mean, like Fiery War Axe and War Leader and Innervate, and like all of these things are cards that we see in a number of decks. And I can see them saying, you know what, like, have your tournament, we'll change it after.
I definitely see that point, but I also see I kind of wish that didn't matter, because it's everybody has to deal with the nerfs, so it's,
yeah, it's
not like
true.
It changes. It's not like half of them have to and half of them don't. Mm-hmm. And then you get to see, as fans, we get to see some innovation happen. As players, deck building becomes rewarded really quick. People who prepare a lot are willing to put some time in. They get rewarded for it. So it depends on who you are. Like, it is an advantage for, you know, say somebody who's got a solid group of people that they practice with and stuff, and they can try some different things out, figure out what the new best lineups are, you know, a little quicker. Then there's the guys who are like on their own, and that would be a disadvantage for them. So,
yeah,
you know, there's like arguments both ways. But I'm just kind of like, they should just change it when it's time to change it. this whole thing about playoffs happening and stuff like that, and then we wait and wait and wait. So then we like know about these changes. It just feels weird right now. Like, I was playing a lot of Wild, and I was in my little Wild bubble where there's barely any Druid. And then all of a sudden I was like, all right, let's queue. We got to talk about this priest deck tomorrow. So let's queue some standard. I think I queue in. It's like 4 druids in a row. Bang. I'm like,
yep.
Yeah, all right. Like, why am I doing this to myself? Like, why am I here when I know that these nerfs are coming? So it makes the game a little weird.
Well, and that's
while.
One of the things that they've said, the reasons that they don't announce nerfs until like the week of the patch is exactly what you just described. You know, like, we're waiting. It's going to be a few weeks. Like, it just feels bad to lose to those decks right now. And they want to make that kind of window as small as possible where it feels bad to queue into 4 druids in a row.
Sure.
So but at the same time, I'm glad that they told us, like, they're riding this very fine line between like when they should make changes, when playoffs are, when people are getting sick of their game because it's just druid, 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 druid. So there's no easy answer, but you're right. Like right now, I did the same thing. I queued in with Priest. I faced half Druids and I got totally wrecked by aggro. And I was just like, oh, this is the worst.
Yeah, I had an aggro Druid go 2-2, 1-2, 1-2, innervate buff, everything. Like, I was like, okay, enjoy that while you have it, buddy. Because that's gone soon.
You just kind of shrug and
it's like turn one, he had, you know, 8-8 worth of power on the board. Yeah. And I was just like, no, this is... it's not going to happen for you anymore. So
yeah, I had a similar experience coming back from the hurricane to finally start playing Hearthstone again. I was like, I'm going to not play Druid. And I queued up as like a control warlock and I was trying Face Hunter and then I kept losing to Druid. So I'm playing aggro Druid again, guys, because I would like to not be rank 18.
You want to win. Yeah.
That
makes sense.
That would be nice.
Which is the same. That's actually been my problem with Hearthstone. I watched a lot of DreamHack Montreal over the weekend, but I like just to sit down and actually play feels bad because I'm just like, I log in, queue up Druid, get a couple wins, and then go, oh, I'm leaving. It's just like, yeah. Even when I'm winning, it doesn't feel good. So,
well, I've been having a great time in Wild. So that's been my respite for a while. The Lich King got me kind of, it kept me busy for a couple days. But yeah, it's just right now, Standard is not a fun place to be. And then knowing that it's changing makes it feel even more pointless. So, you know, I'm ready, man. I'm ready for this to happen. But I have been having a blast. Like, I've been playing all the different variations of Naga Sea Witch wild decks. I tried out, like, a weird Dead Man's Hand Iron Juggernaut deck last night.
Oh.
That was really hard to make happen, but was kind of fun. There's just so many things you can do in Wild right now because of all these, you know, cards that got added. And even after these changes, Wild's going to be even more fun. I might just stay there, to be honest. Like, I might never come back. Well, there's just so much
good.
Going
we
on.
Need a Wild expert.
you know, Dills, you can. That is an option. No one's forcing you to come back to Standard.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, like, Standard will be a lot more fun. So, after the changes, I'm going to be back in there. I'm going to be trying some. Like, what I want to see is some aggro decks that don't involve only pirates or murlocs. I want to see some, you know, I want to see some control decks that can actually live in a world without jades all the time running them over. I'm hoping that that's the world we end up in, where there's just a lot more variety, because that's just what made this expansion. You know, it's hard for us. We love this game. We love all the new cards. And then we can't play with them. And so we feel like we're trying to, I don't know. I feel a little bit like I'm putting on a face sometimes. And it was hard. That's why I had to find Wild. I was like, I got to stream this game. This is like what I do.
Yeah.
How can I then go in there and then not be having fun and pretending like, yay, thanks for the sub, buddy.
GG, I love Hearthstone.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we started the show because we like Hearthstone. You probably started streaming because you like playing Hearthstone. And when you're in those moments when you don't like Hearthstone, it's hard to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and, tough. Yeah, I probably would be there if it wasn't for the hurricane, which just kept me off Hearthstone for a while. If I had gone through the last, you know, over the course of the weekend, what I just went through today and yesterday when I got on, then I would have been real burnt out real fast. But there are other ways to play the game.
Actual hurricane is better than Hurricane of Druids.
I feel like you're
that hurricane. I didn't have to play against all those druids.
I feel like you're reducing my point a little
bit.
But more or less, yeah, that's the gist of it. Yeah, it all comes down to that timing, right? Like, although, let's be honest, I think we'd still be a little annoyed with the state of the game right now, even if we didn't know a nerf was coming and it wasn't here yet.
Sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think it'd be worse. I think every episode until it was announced, we'd be getting on here yelling, this is terrible. Why haven't you done anything about it?
Yeah, exactly. Like it's better to know that something's going to happen than to think that nothing ever will. To think that we're still 2 months away from a change. Like a lot of people assumed.
Yeah. But I'll tell you one thing. Couldn't be a better time for Magic the Gathering to announce Arena. It's almost, yeah. I'm not sure they planned it, but they picked a good time to announce a competitor.
Yeah, a lot of people got very excited about that. I'm definitely going to check it out. It looks cool.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to play it. But yeah, so Fix is coming. I'm glad you're enjoying Wild. I would say, why don't you just go play Arena, but a Synergy picks are still a thing there, but not for long. because also announced since we last got together is that Synergy Picks are going bye-bye in the arena. Mike Danae made this announcement on Reddit, of all places, said that this will not be removed in the balance patch that is coming up, but it will be as an added quick bonus patch. It's going to be removed in a patch after that, basically.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So is the balance patch the one they're talking about that's the quick bonus patch, and then so the next big patch will have the Synergy Picks taken out?
I am assuming so.
Yes.
The way I'm reading this, it's
oddly worded.
Yeah. The way I'm reading this is that the balance patch was not planned for, but has to be implemented as soon as possible, esports permitting, right. And that the end of the Synergy Picks is going into a planned patch in the future. I'm not sure if the only thing in that patch is going to be Synergy Picks or some bug fixes or who knows, but.
Probably not. It'll probably have a whole bunch of different stuff in it, I would think.
If it was planned. But yeah, the wording is weird. And again, making announcements on Reddit seems kind of strange. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, also, we're for.
It wasn't even like an announcement. It was like a comment on somebody's post about Arena. And yeah, so whatever. I'm just glad it's going away because it's not working. I'm hoping that they try some other stuff, though. Like I don't think original Arena and it's just reverting it back to what it was is the perfect answer either. So right now, to me, Arena is fun, but it's not something I'm amazed by the people who can just do nothing but Arena. Like I'm like, wow, you dedication, because it is fun, but it's like a thing where after a little while, you know, I'm ready to move on. So I'm hoping that someday there's this like really perfect Arena answer, this really perfect limited answer that just makes me only want to play it all the time. But we're a long ways away from that, I think, unfortunately. But this is good. Step in the right direction. Get rid of this because this didn't work. Yep.
Nope, but please try other things. Don't let this discourage you. Please get weird. I want to see weirdness in the arena. Thank you.
Please get weird.
Please get weird. Please. So anyways, that's it for Hearthstone news. No patch. Hopefully coming next week. And Synergy Picks are going bye-bye very soon. Now, into this week's strategy, where we will finally sit down and talk about Highlander Priest.
Hit it very hard.
Wanna blow something up?
Yum!
Time to pay!
Okay, Highlander Priest, there are definitely many versions of this deck out there, as has kind of been historical with any deck that only runs one ofs, which, you know, goes all the way back to when Reno was first introduced into this game. There's always room to play around with, but we have pulled today's deck list from hsreplay.net, which might look different tomorrow if you follow the link, but there is a Highlander Priest deck list to be found just about in any corner of the Hearthstone internet, so go and take a look for yourself if you're unfamiliar. But Dills, you are a champion of this deck list right now.
Yeah, no, this is a fun deck, and it's, I think, in a really good spot post-nerfs, once that actually happens. Because we have seen in a world where you can just ban Druid, that the next most popular deck is this Highlander Priest. You know, it's really built around, it's funny because, you know, you used to call these Reno, because Reno was the most important card. And in a lot of, like, let's say this were Mage or Warlock. Warlock, you call it Cruel now because they pull all your demons, and then with your Death Knight, you bring all those demons back. What the most important card now are these class-specific ones, and Raza, once you have that Death Knight going, is insane. You basically, once you get the Death Knight going, you just start machine-gunning down your opponent with free 2-damage bursts, right? So the idea behind the deck is just draw a bunch, you know, remove things, kind of stay in the game, stall, get the Death Knight out, and then just you win, like, from that point. It's really, really hard for anybody to just stay alive against that barrage of 2 damage. And you're doing like 6 to 8 damage a turn from that point on. So it's a very strong deck, and I think it's going to be well placed for tournaments as well as the ladder once these nerfs actually happen. Right now, you see, so this version here that we're displaying, this is the most popular version on HS Replay. Like you said, there's tons and tons of different versions out there. Tempo Storms is much more of a cycle heavy version that really is just built around getting to the Shadow Reaper Anduin. This one's a little bit more built around playing stuff onto the board and kind of fighting for the board with your own minions. And then having a few win conditions, one of them being the Shadow Reaper Anduin, and then, of course, the other being, like, Nazoth or Kazakus having a big swing turn or something like that. So this one's got a little bit more to it, but, you know, they're going to be really well positioned because they can just do everything, right? When you play one of each card, you get one, like, you have all of the counters to things, right? So this has the Geist, it has the oozes, it has, like, all the things you need to kill things
off. The pains and the death.
Exactly, yeah. It's just got one of everything. You can draw poorly, obviously, when you only have one of each.
Well, that's
the general,
that's the weakness of these decks, right? Which is why, I wanted to talk about the Mulligan specifically, because, like, we were talking before the show, you keep cards in this deck that I would never think to keep, you know? Like, I'm so used to looking for, like, my low-cost, like, my Northshires and, you know, Oracles and all that kind of stuff. But, like, if you get Raza or Shadow Reaper or Kazakus, you just keep them. And I'm like, wait, you know, I keep an 8-drop? What?
Yeah, so if you look, like, so on HS Replay, it shows Mulligan win rates when you have that card in your opening hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have Kazakus in your opening hand, that is a 56% win rate for the deck, which, you know, then you look at a card like that you might want to keep in your opening hand, like, I don't know, a Spirit Lash. You're like, yeah, that's really good against aggro, right? No, that's only going to be like 54%. That's actually, so like the higher win rate cards are in green, and all the like green cards, Raza, Kazakus, Shadow Reaper, Anduin. So super weird and maybe not intuitive, but it does make sense when you really think about it, because these are the most important cards in the deck, and the rest of the deck is just kind of built around getting to them, right? Mm-hmm. So just start with them, and then you draw into the stuff
and
that
then
gets
you just
there,
win.
Right? Yeah. It's like Ultimate Infestation in Druid. If you look at it, people keep that. People keep the 10-cost card. It's crazy.
I don't, by the way, because every time I mulligan a card, it's guaranteed to be Ultimate Infestation when the second card comes back into my hand. Every time.
So a lot of people in chat are talking about all the things that this version doesn't have. Look, you can play whatever version you want, but just understand, if you're putting in like an Azoth package, you're not going to have room for all the things that you consider a staple. But that doesn't mean that you have to play this version.
There's like three basic versions of this deck. There's like the Crazy Cycle one, which is the one that's on Temple Storm right now, that has like the Shadow Word Horror Pine Size Potion thing and has all the different card draw mechanics, has Lyra, has all of that. Then there's this version that's the Death Rattle one, and then there's also a version that runs dragons. So you just have to kind of like pick your favorite package that you like to run with, because there's so much room in this deck. Like, just pick a style that works for you, and there's a one-off priest deck for that.
Yeah,
as long as you keep Raza, Shadow Reaper, and Kazakus.
Yeah, those are the keys. But if you're into like that type of version that's only built around like getting all the cheap spells and stuff, then that version also is running like Prophet Velen and stuff like that too. So they found,
which is
like,
weird,
this was,
he hasn't been in hardly anything ever, and he's been around since the start.
Even in the tournament, we saw people running Mind Blast, because basically you use the free hero power, it does 2 damage. Then you play Prophet Velen, then you use the hero power again, it does 4 damage. Then you Mind Blast, it does 10 damage. Then you use the hero power, it does 4 damage. Then you probably have some other cheap spell. And then you get 4 more, like, you just end up doing like, you know, 20 plus burst in a turn, because once he just doubles that hero power and you just keep refreshing it, you know, you just kill people. So in a tournament setting, it's able to kill, you know, like, because you kind of play a slow game. You don't do a lot of face damage early on, right? So once you actually transition into the Shadow Reaper Anduin, your goal is to just kind of burst them down over the, like, maybe the next 2 turns or so. So, and Prophet Velen just allows that to happen. So, yeah, there's many, many things out there. So don't get hung up on what this version has or doesn't have. This is a version built around having the Nazoth. So it's not going to have all that other stuff, you know, but it is going to, like, the other versions don't run Obsidian Statue. And bringing back one of those with Nazoth is really freaking good. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually curious to see, you know, as time goes on, because we're going to have the Raza and the Kazakus and stuff for a little bit longer. Curious to see what the next, you know, like, sets do to these cards, because it's kind of crazy. Like, you thought, I think a lot of people assumed Reno was going to go away and that was it for this, you know, that without Reno, okay, I guess these are just wild cards now, you know, but turns out that these cards are just powerful enough on their own, even without just refilling your health to full. So it's kind of exciting that these decks still do exist. I'm really happy about that because I like this play style. It's fun to build the deck. You kind of like click through and you can just put every card that you want in there. A lot of times when you're building two of decks, you know, you get to a certain point and you're like, man, I really wish I could play this card, but what do I take out? These decks, that's not a problem. You just got to click through and you go, like, yeah, sure, why not? Put this in, put that in. So it's a lot of fun. It's like building like a concoction, you know? And at the end, you're like, cool, let's go experiment and play with it.
Yeah. I think it is worth mentioning, as it was brought up multiple times in the chat room as well, that if you are a budget-minded Hearthstone player out there, this is probably not the archetype for you.
Sure.
Every version of this...
With this archetype, because you can fill in so many different cards, you don't necessarily have to go for the super expensive version. Like I mentioned, there's a dragon variant. Like if you've got kind of any set of cards that works well, then you can slot them into this priest deck. It doesn't necessarily have to be super duper expensive. There's lots of powerful cards when you're just taking one of them.
Yeah, well, it has to be expensive enough to have Kazakus, Raza,
need that. Yeah, you do need that package.
There are three cards I would argue are kind of required for this archetype, and then yeah, you can kind of go from there. But if you do look at, I think, all three major versions of these that are popular anyway, they have a ton of legendaries. Yeah, you can find replacements for some, but it's still a pricey deck.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a control deck, and kind of historically, control decks have been a little bit more on the pricey side because they run all the fun legendaries, right? So
I mean, there's
plenty of cheap cards in here too. You know, there's the Shell Razor and like all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's more fun to be able to also play all those crazy cool legendaries.
Oh, I love chat room. Just shove Malkazar in there and hope for the best.
Good luck.
I love it. I love that. So, Dills, you're playing Wild again. I'm sure you've already ranked up, but is it still the same when you start a new season in Wild? Are your first like 10 games just all against Malkazar decks? Because I feel like every time I start a new season in the lower ranks in Wild, it's multiple Malkazar decks just back to back to back.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on for sure. It's that card is like a perfect addition to Hearthstone because it is just, it's five legendaries in one, right? So yeah, it's, you do see quite a bit of that. Now, one thing I'll say this about this deck in Wild too, there's a lot of fun to be had with this deck in Wild. And I was playing against some decks last night that were running, some really interesting things. So, what was it? Spawn of Shadows. Do you guys remember this card?
Not even a little.
No,
when it was inspire, deal 4 damage to both heroes.
Oh,
so once you get your free hero power and then you can refresh it, you play that card and then you're dealing 2 damage from hero power plus 4 damage from the inspire effect. There you go. Yeah. So that allows you to just go nuts on people.
I completely forgot this card existed.
Yeah, me too.
It was one of those cards that just never really did much, but it definitely has burst potential, right?
Because it came and from now, TGT. None of those cards really did much.
Sure.
Unless you were a
shaman. Here's the thing, though. Inspire with this deck is so sick because refreshing that hero power when it's free is insane. So I think somebody in chat mentioned it just a second ago. Paeltris, Confessor Paeltris is really fun when you're playing a Shadow Reaper Anduin. And then there's also, oh my God, I can't remember the name of it, but it's the card that every time you inspire, it puts a 1-cost 2/2 in your hand. Oh my God. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. You're mentioning cards from the Grand Tournament.
I never played with any of these cards, things. Yeah.
So you basically you keep putting 1-mana 2/2s in your hand every time you recruiter. Thank you. So you play it, you hero power, it puts a 1-cost 2/2 in your hand, you play your 1-cost 2/2, you refresh your hero power. So it allows you to like refresh your hero power over and over and over again because it keeps putting a 1-mana 2/2 in your hand.
You are really challenging my ability to Google quickly and silently.
Sorry. It's the recruiter.
Hey, do you guys remember those cards that were awful in TGT that nobody ever played?
Come on, we all know the names.
And when they came up in arena drafts, you were so hardwired to hate the card that you actually saw a blank spot. You only saw two options. Yeah, do you remember that card? Okay.
Oh God.
That card is actually insane in Wild in this deck. So this is what I love about this stuff is that you can, you know, and Wild too is that as these decks come out, all of a sudden these old cards you're like, holy crap, there's something cool I can do with this card now. And you know, at the time, there you go, recruiter. At the time, So the 2/2 squire that gets in put in your hand costs one, and you just play it, and then you hero power again. Sweet. Super sweet.
Well, that's awesome.
But I mean, yeah, go out and enjoy. Have fun with this deck, and remember, you can put your own spin on these things, which is great.
So I haven't personally built myself a Highlander Priest deck because I had the worst pack opening luck in the world. It's true. It's a fact if you look it up for Frozen Throne. So I do not have Shadow Reaper Anduin. I also still don't have Wrath of the Unchained, so I haven't tried this myself. But I am glad to hear that the customization that came with the Reno archetype is still alive and well, because that was short of healing from zero to max health. That was my favorite thing about the Reno archetypes, was the fact that you could always find a few cards that weren't required that you could take out and make the deck your own.
Yep. And if you ever played commander decks in Magic, and you know, like, there's something special about these one of type decks, you know, they just have a little of everything. Absolutely. Every game feels so different, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Get out there, try Highlander Priest. Again, we pulled this deck list from hsreplay.net, but there are many other versions of this here archetype. Go take it for a spin yourself. Now let's take a crazy game story.
Because the whole world got crazy.
You're in trouble now.
You got it!
You can send your crazy game stories or emails to tacpodcast@gmail.com. What do you have for us today, Jocelyn?
This one comes to us from Justin, who says, "Hello, Huffy Hens. It's turn 15. I have 2 health and my priest opponent has 32 damage on the board. I'm all out of ice blocks, but I've managed to get 5/6 of my quest and I have 4 apprentices in my hand. I can draw a Cold Light and lose, or draw one of 2 tomes and hopefully win. I draw a tome, play my 4 apprentices, and the tome gets a counterspell, so I pop that up and kick open the waygate. Blam! Antonitis and the Blizzard the Tome gave me, and I start tossing fireballs like Tim the Enchanter. I don't get that reference, but I'm sure somebody does. I'm mostly just throwing them face, but that one minion there has 6 health. Maybe I'll just take that one out too. What's a few extra fire? What the hell just happened? So that minion, turns out it was Obsidian Statue. Do you know what they do as a death rattle? They kill an enemy minion. There went an apprentice. I sit there stunned at my stupidity as Medivh says, that was folly. I can't cast my last fireball, but I take out a Tar Creeper with 1 apprentice and go face with the remaining 2. The priest is at 6 HP. I can't believe I lost like this. He casts the Blizzard he got from Shifting Shade, but it pops the counterspell and does nothing. A heal and a Northshire later, it's my turn, and I carefully place 2 fireballs on his face and win. I learned to never, never do that again.
Never punished, man. Wow. You deserve to be punished hard there, Justin.
Absolutely.
That's what you get when you BM, though, but apparently he didn't actually get it this time.
Yeah.
No, I mean, sometimes things just work out, and that's how you learn wrong lessons.
Mm-hmm.
But it appears Justin is more than aware of the error of his ways, and hopefully will not go on to make them in the future. Yeah. Unless maybe you find yourself across the table from Justin, maybe then you're hoping he makes the same mistake again.
Yeah, in the future, just shoot him all to the face. Just finish him off, you know? He was nice enough to let you start firing off all your fireballs. Mm-hmm. Don't then start blasting away at like your own face and his minions and all that kind of, you know. Most people just concede once you get the quest completed and start, you know, shooting the fireballs. So
I would really like, and this is, I promise this isn't because The Dark Knight is one of the movies I watched while waiting for the power to go out 2 nights ago. I would really like an emote that just says, hit me. I want that. I want an emote that just goes, hit me. I want you to hit. That's what I want. I want that. Before we go on to emails, let's thank our patrons over at patreon.com/TAC for supporting this here podcast. If you like the Angry Chicken and you want to support the 3 of us, the Patreon is the 100% best way to do so. And on this episode, we would like to thank Alan B., Ben J., Marco S., Sean C., I'm just going to go with Sean Connery because you don't know any better, listeners, and Daniel S. Thank you all so very much for supporting the show, and we very much appreciate it. We're still very close to the next goal, which gets Raven back on the Angry Chicken for a guest host appearance once a month, and we'll pay him to do so. So if you're out there and that sounds good to you, check out the Patreon. Now let's wrap this episode up with some emails.
Hello.
Hello, it's me.
Hello.
Just quickly, do you get my message?
Yep.
Oh.
Hello, brother.
By the way, to our previous writer, Justin, I was trying to remember the Tim the Enchanter reference. I had to Google it to make sure I was right. So you're not alone. I'm also losing nerd cred in the middle of this. Anyways, emails, send them to the same place, tagpodcast@gmail.com. Jay writes in and starts us off saying, cheers, churlis chanticleers. Don't know if I said that correctly. I was just listening to your discussion of the latest nerfs, and I think I have some justification for why Blizzard only wants to move cards into the Hall of Fame once per year. The dust. With your normal nerf, of course, we have the full dust refund. But remember that with the Hall of Fame, we get full dust value without having to actually dust the cards. When that was originally announced, I recall you reacting exactly how my friends and I did, by immediately crafting up golden versions of as many Hall of Fame cards as possible. This is a really great way to scrounge up some extra dust while also crafting a card that is, by the very fact it is going into the Hall, virtually guaranteed to be very strong and wild. But it comes with a catch that you need to be able to craft the cards in the first place. By keeping the Hall of Fame inductions to a very fixed schedule, it gives us more ability to plan ahead and save our dust so we can cash in as much as possible. If Blizzard were to move an epic to the Hall of Fame right now, even on a couple of weeks' notice, I would never be able to find the dust for two golden ice blocks. Jay, I think this is really well written. I think it's a very good point, and I don't care.
You just want Hall of Fame all the time, whenever it fits.
Yeah, man. Like, listen, that was for effect. Jay is a very good point here, and one that none of us brought up last week. But still, I think balance and it being the right time trumps scheduling and arbitrary rules.
Mm. Fair enough. Sure.
Yeah. So. There was another post about this on our subreddit that brought up some interesting points as well, which is that like the Hall of Fame is kind of works differently, or is intended to work differently than, say, just a nerf, right? Like a nerf is just kind of like something's wrong right now. Let's fix it. Let's fix this problem. And Hall of Fame is more like, this isn't really wrong. This is just gimping future design space, or causing like cards in that slot not to see play as much as we like, and we're doing a big rotation, so we would like to open things up at like as we do that, right? So it kind of fits the theme of a rotation, like a yearly rotation, to also then use that as Hall of Fame. So I am okay with it, but if there is a problem with the game and a nerf doesn't quite make sense, I would like to see them open up and say, like, okay, Hall of Fame in this particular case makes sense. But not always is that going to be the case. And I don't think that Ice Block right now is causing a problem, like at this very moment. But it is a card that I feel like just kind of belongs in the Hall of Fame. So I'm okay with them waiting to move it. But I agree with you as well, Garrett, that like, in the case where a nerf doesn't make sense but Hall of Fame does, I would like to see them just make that move, regardless of these weird reasons
that people
are bringing up.
Yeah, if it's creating a problem, I do agree. And like you said, I don't really think that Ice Block is necessarily a huge problem. We only have one more expansion that it could potentially be like messing with their design space sort of thing. So, I mean, I can wait one more expansion. I mean, we've been dealing with Ice Block since the beginning. It is what it is. Like,
it doesn't upset me that it didn't move, I would have been okay with it moving too, right? Yeah. Like, I would have been okay with them just doing that now. I'm okay with the way they're doing it, but like, I'm totally with you, Garrett, that it's like, I just don't think there'd be a weird, hard, fast rule like that. These can only happen here. This can only happen here. These can only happen there. Like, why? You know, just because? Like, I don't want that to be the case either.
Okay, now counterpoint. I will admit that I hate Ice Block. It is one of the most tilting sensations for me in the game right now is when Ice Block 3, 4, and sometimes 5 comes out from the mage.
I would say, yeah, that's the problem. Not necessarily Ice Block the card, but the fact that they can get 6.
Yes. Right now, there's nothing that makes me angrier. I will take a turn 1 Flappy Bird any day over 5 Ice Blocks, because at least I didn't waste my time on the turn 1 Flappy Bird. But while I do mostly agree with you guys, like I think you're right, it's not that big of a problem. I'm just having a personal reaction to it. But I think Blizzard opened the floodgates to this discussion by touching Fiery War Axe, touching Hex, and touching Morlock War Leader, who I would lump all three of those into the same category of not really a problem right now.
Mm-hmm. Show us where Blizzard touched you. Well, sorry, I couldn't just let it go.
Right, yeah, on the 0-1 frog with talk.
I don't think they want to move those cards, right? They want Fiery War Axe to be a card that warriors, when they start the game, they see, right? They see this card, they go, okay, yeah, cool, I'm a warrior with weapons. Got it, you know what I mean? But Ice Block it's not a basic card. It's a card you open in a pack. And actually, I don't think they moved any just basic cards to the Hall of Fame, right? They were all classic or cards, but they all had gems in them, right? And they were, it was Conceal.
Ice Lance?
No, you had to open that in a pack. Frostbolt you get from your basic thing, but Ice Lance was not. Because Ice Lance would be weird if they just gave you Ice Lance. If you were a new player, you'd be like, freeze something or damage it if it's frozen? What?
Yeah,
like,
no, you're right.
That card's a little weird, right? You don't realize its power potential. I remember looking at that card and being like, what the hell? Or like card like Conceal. I'm like, I hide all my minions. I don't even do anything. I just hide them. Early on in the game, it's they try to make it so that the basic cards set up for you what your class is, right? One of the weirdest basic cards, by the way, that is like the exception to the rule is Tracking. Like, the Tracking is a card that just give you an hunter, and you're like, what? Is that my thing? Is that a thing I do as a hunter? But that's what those cards are kind of designed around, which is these basic cards, a card like Hex, they don't want to ever probably move that to the Hall of Fame. So instead, the nerf made more sense to them, right? Fiery War Axe, they don't want to move that to the Hall of Fame. So the nerf made more sense. Ice Block, a nerf would be weird. What do? Make it cost 4? That doesn't work because it's a secret. Yeah. What do? Make it so that, you can't change the rule of secrets. Mm-hmm. You could potentially make some weird thing where you can never get a off a random spell, but then how do you put that text on a card? Like, I don't know.
So that's the thing. Like, would that even, because that's what I was going to say. You could make it so you couldn't get it from Glyph or Primordial, Primordial Glyph or Cabala's Tome or anything that gives you Babbling Book, anything that gives you random stuff. Wouldn't that just be a change they could just make in the background, similar to how they pull cards out of Arena? And then if they can do that, then who says it even needs to be on the card text? Like,
yeah, but then it's just a weird thing in the game that it's only exists for this one card.
Yeah,
I think it's just easier to throw it in the Hall of Fame. Like, this is the easiest answer. This is the easiest answer to the problem, right? I don't know if I want the game to have weird rules around different cards. Like, I want it to, if a card says random, it's random, right? Remember there was a time where specific sets of demons would come off of Bane of Doom. And that was weird. Like, it was like you could only get this set. And then they were like, okay, yeah, that is weird. It should just be any demon that you can get, whether it's wild or standard, right? Then there's things like a random Tauren warrior or whatever card, right? Like that kind of stuff, that kind of makes sense. The elite Tauren chieftain. But when you just throw this thing onto a card that just says random spell and then you say except for this one spell, I don't know, you're just like overcomplicating it to me. Hall of Fame it. Just Hall of Fame.
All right, this doesn't make me happy. Either just Hall of Fame it in the middle of the year and deal with it because it's the right thing to do. Option 2, add a line of text to Ice Block that says maximum 2 per game. Option 3, lie to me, Blizzard. Tell me you don't think it's an issue, even though you clearly think it is.
Well, they think it is, but I think they think it's an issue that can wait, Mm-hmm. And I don't really have a huge reason to disagree with them other than that Garrett doesn't like it. you were very definitive. This is the right thing to do. I waffle on that. I think it's also okay. It would be the right thing to do it now. It would also be the right thing to do to wait until the year rotates and then do it then. Like, I don't know. They're both fine to me. So, you know what I don't like, though? I don't like things like 50% less Flappy Birds in Arena. But when they do come, they still suck. It's just they come less. I don't know. Like, I prefer just a quick, easy, let's just remove it from Arena or let's just remove it from Standard. I like that better. Been some weird caveat,
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I like consistency and simplicity, even though there was that whole thing about people thinking that Team 5 thinks we're dumb, and that's why Fiery War X is man a thing. And there's a reason that's not in this episode, because that's dumb, and I don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah, that's dumb to think that. Yeah. I didn't think you were dumb until you made that argument.
Yeah.
Dummy.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I'm definitely in the same boat as you, Dills. I just... We had some time.
Wait. What does Joss want to say? Chat room is
no,
like...
No, nothing. No, nothing.
Come on.
No, it was a dirty joke. It's past. It's not funny anymore.
Was it a giggle moment? Yeah.
But right. I didn't do it.
It's not funny anymore. All right. Dills, next email.
Oh, crap. I'm like tabbed into many things. Okay, here we go. Lyle says, hi, comedic cluckers. I'm listening to your discussion on the nurse, and I think you missed some important points. Ooh. Can't wait to hear about all these important points we missed. All right, on Fiery War Axe. So here's the thing that I would like Team 5 to explicitly say. Is Warrior a control class or not? Control Warrior has existed since Vanilla Hearthstone with Fiery War Axe costing 2. Fiery Wind Axe, he calls it. Costing 2 and has never been a problem. You just called it Fiery Wind Axe, Lyle. Come on. However, the current iteration of Warrior is not a control deck, but an aggro deck. Important to note is that while Fiery War Axe is in the deck and is an important part of the deck, Fiery War Axe has been proven to be fine if Warrior is working the way Warrior is supposed to work. While I'm glad they nerfed something at a Pirate Warrior, Fiery War Axe is the literal bottom of the list of cards in that deck I would have chosen due to the fact that nerfing that card hurts Control Warrior so badly. On Murloc War Leader, if you recall, all the Murloc buffs cards used to say all Murlocs. They were changed to only affect your stuff sometime around Mean Streets of Gadgetzan. But the buffs they gave were not changed accordingly. So Murloc Warleader went from +2/+1 to everything, assuming your opponent has Murlocs, to +2/+1 to only your team, which is obviously a significant buff. But also why Warleader was not in line with South Sea Captain. Because Pirates never had the alt text, the South Sea Captain was balanced to be one side while Warleader was not. It's only a matter of time until T5 realized this and nerfed Warleader, although I'm somewhat surprised it took them this long. Keep up the good work. I really like the cast. Oh man, Lyle's going to hate me when he gets my response to this email. Sorry, Lyle. All right, first of all, Lyle, you are making a lot of assumptions, my friend. You are assuming things that I do not think there is any evidence for.
I cut this email down a lot, FYI. So there was there was a lot of stuff in there.
Sure. There is absolutely no evidence that they balanced Murlocs because of the alt text the way that they used to be, and then somehow realized their mistake after changing that. I don't think that was ever the reasoning for changing it from all to whatever and then being like, oh, God, now it's too powerful. No, I don't think
they changed the all text because wasn't it the Paladin mirror match with the Murlocs?
It was when they released Anyfin can or Everyfin, whatever. Yeah,
it's the Anyfin one because Everyfin is the
Everyfin is
one.
Awesome is the shaman one. Yeah, so Anyfin can happen. When they released that, things got really wonky with the mirror match because it was happening a lot all of a sudden and it never used to be a thing. So it really had nothing to do with some sort of balance thing. It was just that the math got so convoluted that it was, you know, just very, very bizarre. Like you couldn't play your Anyfin because then if you didn't actually kill them, they would then play theirs and your more war leaders were buffing the other side. So it was just a weird situation.
Which, for the record, I loved that mirror match because of this interaction. So I thought it was so cool to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was just, it hurt your brain trying to be like,
it did,
and
that's why I liked watching other people that are way better than me and do math faster.
Casting was terrible for it because they were like, I don't know if he wins, and if he does it, he will definitely lose because the other guy will definitely win.
Yeah.
It just was really weird. And then Fiery War Axe. You make this point that somehow Warrior can only be a control class.
Well, I'm going to interject what the stuff that I basically cut out of this email because it was really, really long. So he was basically saying he wants Team 5 to tell us if they think Warrior is a control class or not, because they have so many control tools and that's kind of been where they excel. Even their quest has, is about taunt. They've got, shield block and all of these. Even their hero power is an armor gain, which lets them last longer than most other classes. So he's basically saying, is that the way you want to go with it? And if that's the case, why are you nerfing War Axe? It really hurts control. It's just because pirates suck. So
I can tell Lyle the answer. That no, it is an all sorts of class. It is a whatever class. It is a whatever archetype class you can make it, like all the other classes in Hearthstone. Rogue can be very aggressive, yet also has a card like Banish, which has nothing to do with aggressive strategies, right?
Yeah, Team 5, at no point in the history of this game has Team 5 ever given us an indication that their goal is for each class to cater to one specific type of play. Even if that's the case with some classes where you mentioned Rogue, historically it's been Miracle, but not always the case.
Or Hunter. Hunter,
face.
Well,
but
Hunter
again,
has a ton of control tools, right? That like just never make it into anything because it's easier to be aggressive, right?
Yeah, that's another counterpoint to Kyle's or Lyle's argument is well, they have all these control tools. Well, yeah, so do Hunters. So it's kind of irrelevant. And even if Team 5 came out and said that that's what it is, it doesn't really matter. Just kind of like how. When we're looking at, after all the card spoilers come out, a week before an expansion release, and we're looking at the obvious themes going on, I'll use Beast Druid as an example. Clearly, they're trying to push it, but it's irrelevant that that's what they're trying to push, because in that example, Beast Druid is still bad, and it's not going to net you enough wings to climb the ladder, and it's going to die. So Team 5 proclamations from Team 5 as to what an archetype should be, it doesn't freaking matter, because at the end of the day, we're the ones that are going to figure out what stays and what goes.
Yeah, they just give us the cards, and then we figure out what to do with them.
I wonder if this is coming up a little bit more because they've been talking about class identity so much more. Like, Team 5 itself has been mentioning class identity quite a lot. I feel like in the last 6 months or so, probably.
It's true, they never say this.
But they never say what
control.
It is. Yeah,
right? They say it's it's weapons. It's
or
overload,
even then,
it's
sometimes
randomness.
I feel like they don't even say what it is. They just say this goes against the class identity of blah, or we're trying to strengthen the class identity of blah. They never actually come out and say the class identity is ever.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's probably where some of the stuff is coming from.
Yeah, and here's the other thing too that I want to say to Lyle when he brings up this kind of stuff is you also can't get bogged down in the right now whenever you're talking about a nerf or a buff or a change or whatever it is. Like, you can't only think about right now, right? And yeah, it's true. If I was Blizzard and I was saying, okay, we got to nerf Pirate Warrior specifically, then Fiery War Axe would not be the top of the list of exactly how to do that, right? Mm-hmm. It would probably be patches, right? It would probably be Nezzoth's First Mate or something like that, where you would just weaken those cards just a touch, and suddenly that would weaken that entire archetype. But that's not what this nerf is all about. This nerf is about this specific card has been one of the top win rate cards for the entirety of Hearthstone. And that's if that card cannot be nerfed, then no card can be nerfed, because it like that is the definition of an OP card. And yes, it does hurt Control Warrior, but I think if we're being honest, the intention was also to hurt Control Warrior. It was just to hurt this card and make this particular card less strong. And if that means that it hurts Control Warrior as well,
so be it.
So yeah, that's just part of the deal, right? Innervate hurts every type of druid when it gets nerfed, right? So even though specifically right now, most of the people are concerned with one type of druid. So we can't really get bogged down in that this specifically does this right now, and it shouldn't, because it's about the entire health of the game and not just the health of one particular archetype in one particular class.
I'll get bogged down in druid real fast. It's two types of druids. Two types of druids that everyone's concerned about right now.
Here's the thing, though, too. If Control Warrior ends up getting a couple of, like, right now Control Warrior is not even good. You could say that Taunt Warrior is pretty decent, but to be honest, it's kind of had its day in the sun, and it's not really working that well right now either. So
there's like
Control Warrior is going to need some more stuff in the next expansion, really, if that's going to make a real comeback for this to matter.
There is like the fatigue Dead Man's Hand Warrior that I've seen lately,
but
even that,
like
it's such a fringe. Yeah, no, it's such a fringe deck.
It's fun, though. It's fun as hell. Yeah. And there's something there. It just needs a couple more tools. Right now, they're just missing a few tools. We'll see if they get them or not. Plus, a lot of the stuff that they do, just they don't have enough things to really work with it, right? Like, they got all this stuff about damaging your own minions. Mm-hmm. And they just, the minions, when you damage them, don't do enough cool things for it to matter, right? So it's kind of weird.
Warrior in general, this expansion kind of right out, it was the first disappointment for me, this expansion right out the gate. I was just feeling their Death Knight card kind of spearheaded for me, but it was really feeling like they kind of fell flat on their face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't really get a lot of help.
Top Warrior was so good, and Pirate Warrior is so good. I'm kind of okay if didn't get another super cool, powerful deck.
Yeah, like Pirate Warrior basically just doesn't, they don't even put anything from the new expansion in. They just go, all right, well, we're still good, right? Yeah,
Pirate Warrior's still good. Cool.
Sweet, let's go.
Yeah, but I want to live in a world where everyone gets cool new stuff with the new expansion. I know it can't always happen, but I just want to live in that world. But anyways, Joss, take us home with the final email for today.
This one comes to us from Zednik, who says, "Hi, Angry Chicks. I almost just smashed my phone against the wall, so I've decided to share my frustration. Today, I faced Exodia Mage on ladder with my Highlander Priest."
Oh, phew. I thought we did something.
What?
I said, oh, thank God. I thought we did something. I thought it was something we said. I was getting worried.
Yeah, really. Tough match, I thought, but what the hell? Let's try. The mage finished up his quest, played 5 apprentices, took an extra turn, played Antonitis, brought me to 2 health, and popped my stolen ice block, killing all 6 of my minions on the board, played another cheap spell to get an extra fireball, so he had 2 in his hand and passed the turn. With saving the coin, I had a perfect solution in my hand to remove his whole board, heal myself back up to 16, and pop his block again. But I found this time the quest almost read like take 2 turns. Because his turn took so long queuing up all the actions he made, I watched in horror as my turn came up. I started to rope immediately. I didn't have enough time to remove his board and heal myself up. I was cheated of my carefully planned win by a horrible roping bug. Does this happen to you sometimes too? I feel like this has happened in the past where there's been like queuing animation bugs taking up your opponent's turn instead. I thought they fixed that.
They fixed the Nosdormu thing that people were like exploiting this, right?
Yeah.
But I guess it could still possibly happen with the craziness of Quest Mage. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it makes sense. So if his opponent had an Antonitis on board and then he was making enough fireballs to kill like the opponent, pop the block and then kill all the stuff on the board. And, you know, that's a lot of fireballs depending on how big the priest's board was. Right. So I can see how queuing up all those animations take forever, but yeah, the fact that it uses your opponent's time, oh man, that sucks.
Yeah, that needs to be fixed. Could ever happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the thing you got to do when something like this happens, you got to just open up a bug report like right away. Just let them know. Like I had a weird thing in Wild happen where, so you know, like right now, Naga Sea Witch has been changed so that cards cost base 5 and then get discounted. Well, I've been using Bright-Eyed Scout, and I was using it in Paladin, and I drew the, I can't remember the name of it now, but the spell that costs, starts out costing 5, and then costs 1 less for every minion that's died this turn, right? And it draws you 2 cards.
Solemn Vigil?
Solemn Vigil! There it is. Thank you very much. All right, so anyway, so I Bright-Eyed Scout, and it draws Solemn Vigil. And Solemn Vigil already costs 5, so it just still says 5 on it. Then I go to make some trades, so 2 minions die. Solemn Vigil should go down to 3, right? Like, 2 minions die that turn. I should go down to 3. It just stays 5. So it actually, when it gets set to base 5, its discount does not then apply afterwards, which its discount is not, you know, the same way a Giant's is, where it's like some board condition. It's like, something has happened this turn, it should then go down, right?
Right.
So I opened a bug report right away. And hopefully that gets fixed, because if they change a bunch of things like this, they should all work consistently, right? Mm-hmm. So basically, if they don't know about it, if we don't tell them, they won't fix it. So Zdenek, just open a bug report. Thank you for sending us an email, but also make sure you're opening a bug report as well. Gotta let the Blizzards know.
I can see how that would be super frustrating, though. Like, Quest Mage is already frustrating to play against, especially when you're in a bad matchup, and then you're like, oh my god, I actually stole an ice block and have a way to win! And then, yeah, you lose to the rope. That sucks.
Yeah. It's like, anytime you lose when it's not something that you did, it's always very frustrating,
when it's a
right?
Bug,
so
yeah.
DCs and all that kind of stuff, it just sucks.
Agreed. Also, Zdenek, I mean, you're playing Highlander Priest. The other person's playing Quest Mage. These are just both decks I don't like seeing ever. So,
So you had it coming, is what you're saying here.
I don't have a horse in this race, is what I'm saying. Anyways, thank you everyone for your emails again. If you want to write in, the place to do so is tacpodcast@gmail.com. And that is going to bring us to the end of this episode. As always, we are supported by our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/TAC. We would like to also thank our producers, Declan H., Peter Williams, Michael N., Sean C., and Johnny S. Thank you guys so much. Find more of this podcast, including the entire back catalog, over at amove.tv or youtube.com/amovetv. You can pick up Angry Chicken t-shirts at shirts.amove.tv and glasses, mugs, that type of stuff over at etched.amove.tv. Follow the show on Twitter at TAC Podcast and catch us live Tuesday nights at 4 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv. You guessed it, /AMoveTV. Dills, where can folks find you?
Check me out on Twitter. I'm at Willie Dills. My Twitch channel is twitch.tv/WillieDills. Check out the 1-900 wrestling podcast I do with Justin Robert Young. We'll be in Las Vegas for a Ring of Honor pay-per-view event the 22nd, I believe, of September. So it'll be some fun live episodes coming at you from there. If you happen to be in Las Vegas, because there's some Diamond Club stuff, make sure you come and say hello to me.
Ooh. Are you guys going to talk about how John Cena's music is being used for a new Toyota commercial, but John Cena is nowhere in the commercial?
I did not know. I was unaware. I'll have to look into this. I'll do some research.
Yeah, no. Katie and I were sitting there one night, and a Toyota commercial comes on, and she's beep, 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 and we're sitting there just, where's
I'm
John
sure
Cena? Why?
Permission. So yeah. He's probably aware.
I found it very odd choice to use such recognizable music and not
now,
have
the
celebrity.
Was it an invisible truck? Could you see this truck?
Oh, you could see the truck. John Cena was the only thing that was invisible. Yeah, John Cena was the only thing invisible. But anyways.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. He's in the commercial. You just couldn't see him.
Yeah. He probably had that, one of those towels or something over his face. I don't know. But anyways, Jocelyn, you do other shows besides The Anger Chicken. Where can folks find those?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays. We're going to be streaming some Heroes tonight at probably about 8 p.m. Eastern, so come and check that out. I also do The Gamers Inn, which is 8 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays, which is right here on twitch.tv/amovetv.
Awesome. Everyone go and check that out. Folks, I'm on Twitter at Garrett Art. That's G-A-R-R-E-T-T-A-R-T. Go give that a follow. Again, you can go back through that to find the videos I posted of the walk around of my house as a before and after. So you can see it looking nice with boards on the window, and you can see it looking like crap with boards on the window. other than that, I have many, many podcasts at amove.tv. Check out Embrace the Spoilers with Jocelyn and I. We're soon we'll be doing some Indiana Jones episodes. Into the Nexus, all about Heroes of the Storm. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of The Angry Chicken. Thank you all for tuning in, and thank you all again for the well wishes while I was experiencing a terrifying hurricane. But until next time, job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
Yes!
Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.